What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? Hey, this is Zach Edwards for another episode of the Debt-Free Millionaire Podcast and Personal Finance Course. That's right, we're going to take you through everything in personal finance to make sure that you become either debt-free or a millionaire or both. You get to decide. That's why we can't guarantee anything's going to happen, but you'll be further down the road with getting to one of these two or even three options by following these steps, by following everything that we teach. And again, I am not a financial advisor. I am not an investing specialist. So everything that we talk about here is based on hard knocks. It means actual life. We've actually experienced these things. We are not some person that's gone to school and learned these things and saying, hey, oh, I know all these things. I'm also not going to pull the wool of your eyes and say, hey, I have $1 million. I'm on this leader jet like a lot of people do. I'm going to show you exactly what I did to become a debt-free, almost millionaire. And within 1 year of starting this podcast, we will be a $1 million brand. That's the goal. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what we're going to get. Okay, so I always love talking about current events. Current events is great for allowing people to see how personal finance works in their life. So I'm going to bring up a chart. Do you know what this chart is? It says the annual change of U.S. consumer price index. What does that mean? Well, it actually means this is inflation. This is what's happening with inflation. As you can see, when Donald Trump was in office, we were around the 2%. That's where the Fed wants to be at all times. And it also tanked a little bit during COVID, but that was because COVID, people weren't buying things. And the index goes up with the amount of things that people buy. And people weren't gouging anyone because everyone was in the same boat. And a lot of people weren't going to the store. So they were getting stuff where they could. So the inflation dropped to zero. Most people weren't spending any money except for on food. But as you can see, ever since 2021, when the change happened between Trump's administration and Biden's administration, and again, I'm trying to be completely balanced with this, it continued to increase. Now, as I've said in the past, this inflation mostly happens because of what? A lot of money being thrown into the system. And during COVID, that's what we did. Trump did a stimulus package here and gave us a ton of money, which was just printed money. And then Biden really hit it hard when we came into here, which is more printed money, which is why the price continued to increase. And if you remember the story that I keep telling you guys, man's name is Mansa Musa. He was in Africa. This is African history that everyone needs to learn about because it's all about the economy and how things work, why inflation goes up. So, his story again. Mansa Musa was the wealthiest man in the whole world. Even to these days, he was still the wealthiest person because he actually controlled like everything that was in that country. It was the country or the kingdom of Mali. And this took over most of North Africa, or a large portion of North Africa. And so his trade was gold. He had tons of it because he mined it. His people mined it. His slaves mined it. He had so many slaves. And I'll explain where those slaves, a little bit more about those slaves. But what he did was he mined the gold and sold it on his market. The Mali market was one of the largest markets, but everyone had to go either by ship or had to go around the coast because it was near the Sahara Desert. Nobody wanted to travel through. And that's where you get the caravans of camels and such going through the Sahara Desert, trying to make their way because it was so deadly of an adventure going through there. So Mansa Musa decides, hey, I want to go to Mecca. He was a Muslim. He wanted to go to his holy land. And so that's what he did. He started his walk. Now, during his walk, everyone said he was so generous because he came with camels of gold. His slaves, and this is both white and black slaves, this is Christian slaves and African slaves, that when the caliphate came into Africa, they took all these slaves and made them a lot of slaves. Then the slave trade, there was a lot of Christians that were taken from the different wars and being shipped down there. There was a lot of Jewish, most of the Jewish were actually slave traders at the time, so were the Muslims, and the Christians were not allowed to enslave anyone that was a Christian. So they had everyone else. So yes, everyone was part of this, minus the people that were being attacked. And actually, some of those places had slaves as well, because slaves was normal back then. I'm not saying it was not a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing. It was a disastrous thing. It's inhumane. But in this time, to understand this time, so many nations, almost all nations, had some form of slavery. So Mansa Musa took these slaves, walked into Ethiopia and around the area of Egypt. This was the largest gold market in the world. And what did he do? He gave out his gold to all the poor and the needy. And everyone's like, oh, he's so great. This is awesome. Thank you for this gold. The problem is they didn't realize that when everyone has gold, the value of gold goes down. It's supply and demand. The value of it goes up when it's more rare. So you flush a market with gold, it's going to tank the market. So he goes off to Mecca, and then on the way back, people were very upset with him. They were very upset with him. So he took some of the gold back, but not much. And it took the Ethiopian market, that market on the east side of Africa, about 7 to 10 years to recover from what he had done. And some may say, well, he was just being generous. But no. His market actually became stronger because of that, because there was a rarity factor, and he actually made a huge amount of money off of it. So, sly? Yes. Generous? Possibly. I mean, the poor now had money, but they had money that wasn't really worth as much anymore. So, yeah, it was a little trickery there. But because of the influx of cash, like when we print cash just to give it out to the poor, the needy, the every average person during the stimulus or during the COVID epidemic, the value of the dollar tanked. And because the value of the dollar tanked, the price of everything went skyrocketing up. Okay, so what did the Fed do? In order to counteract this printing of money, they didn't burn the money. They didn't take the money back. No, because they wanted the money in the market. What they did is they increased the interest rate of everything. We went from near zero, or even some for the banks, it was zero, but near zero for the common person, to all of a sudden, now it's at 7 to 8%. So at 7 to 8%, nobody wants to buy a house. Nobody wants to buy a car. Nobody wants to get into debt, even though they're getting huge amounts of debt because they don't have the money to survive because the market is so bad. All these different things. And that's why all of a sudden with the Fed introducing a higher interest rate, that brought prices down. Now, as you can see from here, the blue is all items. This includes gas and food and everything else that you would buy. Car, rent, and such. So as you can see, it got to an okay spot at 3%, though everyone's target market is 2, because 2 keeps everything stable. Here got down to 3, and then it started creeping up, and then went back down, and then went up, and now it's starting to climb. Now, this is what's most important, because red excludes the things that everyone buys. It excludes your food and your gas. Those are the two big things that are making the price go back up. So gas is what everyone buys. So that price is going to go back up. When Donald Trump left office, it was about a 3.25. Between 2.25 and 3.5. Sorry. Wait. Let's go back. Sorry. 1.5. 3.5 is actually where Biden is. 1.5 to, we'll just say 1.5. Here in Kansas City, it was $1 per gallon of gas. Do you know where it is now? Going up. Yes, that's right. It is at $3, and let's see, I just looked yesterday, $3.39 in Kansas City. So in just Kansas City, it went up 339%. Even though it went a lot higher last year and then came back down, it is right now, and it's still the winter. Well, it's going into spring, but it's still the beginning. It has not hit the summer, and the summer is where the prices go up because everyone's traveling. Again, supply and demand. Supply, they might have it up, but if demand goes up, the price goes up as well. So if more people want this commodity, such as oil or gas, the price will go up. So this $3.39 will be above $4. And the last time that happened, the last time that Biden saw that the price increased dramatically, what did he do? He introduced the reserve. So the oil reserve that the United States has for like emergencies, military actions, wars, things like that. He used that to counteract the price. So he basically gave away free, not free oil, but lower cost oil in order to bring down the price. Well, everyone might say that's nice, except where are we right now? We're less than half of what we should have for our reserves. And in that case, if a war happens, if an emergency happens or such, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to have money. We're not going to have gas for that. And at this point, when this price goes back up because of gas and because gas goes up, food's got to go up. And even if you're doing electricity, a lot of electricity is done by fossil fuels. When that price goes up, so does the food. Everything goes back up when there's more demand on the fuel to get the food from one place to the next. I hope you're understanding this. So this is very interesting and necessary to know, because today we're actually talking about debt. That's right. The topic that not many people want to talk about is debt. How much debt do you have on your hands? So there's two sayings that are very popular when it comes to finances. One, they say cash is king, which means if you have cash, you can buy anything. If you have the cash to buy it, instead of getting into debt, you can buy anything. But, and like, for instance, if you're buying a house and you told a seller that you had cash to pay them instead of getting a mortgage, where you might be able to get a mortgage for it, because it depends on the price, the bank won't lend you anything more than what the house is worth. And if you buy the house for more, the bank is not going to do it. So they have to send an inspector in to evaluate the price of that house. If you go with cash, it's not based on whatever the bank says it's valued. So cash is king. But also with that same one, there's another saying. It says, you become the slave to the lender. If someone's dishing you out money, you become their slave. Because if they cut off the money, you can't survive. Like the government, they cut off the money, you can't survive because you're so ready to take the money that the government gives you that you can't get it anywhere else. You're not self-sustaining. We at Debt Free Millionaire will make you self-sustaining. We want you to be part of the growing economy and not everyone else. And we want everyone else to become up here too. But it's only those that want to listen or want to be part of this. It's their choice. Again, podcasts are free. So no one has an excuse, minus if they just haven't heard about it. But if they don't want to take the course, if they don't want to listen in, they don't even have to buy the book. Just by listening, they'll actually be learning everything they need to know to become a king instead of a slave. And we're going to get more into that later on. But there's a lot in this chapter. This is week 4, day 4. But you need to know that there's a lot in this chapter because we are going through your debt. There are three types of debt that people say that are acceptable debt. College, home, so where you live, and college being education, whether it's trade school, college, university, doesn't matter. Your education, where you live, and your transportation. Those are three things that people say that you can get into debt for. Now, when it comes to college, you're going to get into debt. Most people get into debt because they have not prepared beforehand. When it comes to home, rentals, mortgage. That is up to you. You do not have to be in debt. You may have a rent check that you have to pay every month, but that's not considered debt. That's an obligation, not a debt. And then there's transportation. Remember, transportation is buying a car. It's, that's basically it. It's buying a car, buying a vehicle to get from point A to point B. But remember, you don't have to get a car right now. You can take a bus, which means zero debt. So the only debt that you would have would be your education if you choose to go get educated beyond high school. Now, with this being said, I want to bring you through some things that are very important. Now, before I tell you about this, when it comes to your education, this is what we're going to be talking about, your college years. Before we go into this, I'm going to tell you something that's very important. Did you know that stress, mostly financial stress, is one of the biggest killers in America? People right now want to say outside sources, it's actually fentanyl, which we talked about a few episodes ago, which is a drug that people are lacing into other drugs, including drugs that you think would be pharmaceuticals or stuff that was giving over the counter or behind the counter, being like you go to a Walgreens or a CVS. But this is actually, debt is actually worse for you. But this also includes like medical issues that come from stress. This comes from suicide or the lack of eating. All these things are based on the fact that stress, financial stress especially, is the worst killer in America. So that is my caveat. That's what I need to tell you before we go more into this. And I'm going to help you to understand where you need to be in order to stay as debt-free as possible so that you can become debt-free sooner rather than later. Okay, so let me go through this chart with you. Okay, let me see if I have this right. Did this work? No. Yes, it did. Okay, cool. So here we go. Let me see if I can blow that up just slightly. Okay. So here is the quote that everyone loves to say. The greatest way to financial strife is education. Now that is 100%. No, this is 2000%. This is infinitely true. Except you need to understand what that actually means. See, let's say it again. The greatest way out of financial strife is education. Now, that does not actually mean college or university or even a trade school, though I would suggest at least do a trade school. This actually means being educated. You listening to this podcast, that is being educated. That is you being worried about your future and wanting to learn more. Education, learning. Okay, now, that being said, let's go through this chart. This is a very important chart. So this is the levels of education. So say you have less than high school diploma. You're going to start off about $25,000. And this was, again, 2 years ago because I need to update this before we release it. $25,000 is what you would earn per year as less than a high school diploma. Now, also remember, as a debt-free person, I won't say millionaire yet, but as a debt-free person, I was able to live off of about $12,000 a year. And that was while I was doing some education and working on my business. Okay, now, minimally, hopefully you'll get a high school diploma because that brings you up $10,000 to $35,000 a year by just having your diploma. And now, these two are very hard to live off of starting out, just so you know. Especially right now, if you were earning $35,000 because of inflation, you'd have to go to the food bank. You'd have to go get help in other ways. You wouldn't be able to provide health insurance. So just with a high school diploma, that's how much you would be making. Now let's go into some college. Okay, if you go to college and you don't get a degree, you could be making about $38,000 to $40,000 a year. That's not bad. It's not bad. You could probably survive off that. And I do mean survive. You'd be renting and not getting all of the name brand stuff, but you'd be able to survive. Okay, now jumping into an associate's degree, you get $41,000 a year if you graduate with an associate's degree. But check out the difference. Now, this is a two-year degree right here. Some college could be more like a trade school to not finishing up your degree. Associate's degree is 2 years. Bachelor's degree is 4 years. This is what I did. I got a bachelor's degree. Now, when I left, the top pay that you would get is about $43,000. And I was making that top pay because I was a superintendent in construction. Right here, bachelor's degree, $59,000 as of 2022. Okay. Master's degree would jump you up another $10,000 on top of that. So you had this big jump here. You had $18,000, nearly $18,000 when you went from an associate's degree to a bachelor's degree. And that's 2 years more of college. Okay. So what about a master's degree? That only jumps you up $10,000. Now, a professional degree, this is like a doctorate. This is, and this again, this is starting off pay. This is, so this is, if you're going to get become a doctor, a lawyer and such, you'd be starting off at the $90,000 minimum. This is like working in Kansas City. So it's higher than that. But here's the difference. Difference in pay over 20 years between having a diploma and getting some to college degree, it's $62,000. You'd be making more by going to getting some college or trade school. If you got an associate's degree, you'd be making double that. And this is over 20 years, making an extra $124,000. Bachelor's degree, you get making $477,000 more. Master's degree, $689,000 more in over 20 years. Now, that's not every year. This is collectively over 20 years. And as a professional, you'd be making about $1 million for 20 years. An additional $1 million over the lifespan of 20 years. Now, look at this. If you go to a public college, the cost with interest, right here, if you didn't finish your degree, hey, you're making money right there. Look at that. Your trip, 2.5 times. Here, yeah, about just under, about 2.5 times, we'll say. Here, it's about 3 times. If you get a bachelor's degree, you get 3 times as much as you'd be paying with interest to pay off your loans. Again, depending on your degree and how long you're in the school. Right here, you'd be making $200,000 more. This is not double. So you drop in the increase. This is not double, but it is $200,000 more. And over here, you'd be making about $300,000 more. So there's a little bit of a jump. A bachelor's degree is a great degree to get because you be making bank. But look at this. If you go to a private college, right here, $57,000 more, or it would cost you $57,000 with interest to go to those classes. Again, because we don't know how long you're going to go for some college, this just gives you the basics of it. And you're earning in difference, only $62,000. But here, private school, $116,000, $124,000 for your associates. That's not much of a difference. You're going to be paying, basically the increase that you had over 20 years will be paid in your debt. Wow. And remember, debt's gone up since we wrote this. Okay. Master's degree. I'm going to have to update these numbers. So I will get that and I'll put them back up here. Master's degree. You made $689,000 over 20 years. If you went to a private school, you basically lost money. Oh, no. Okay. So you made what? $60,000 from what you lost in the pay. Plus you had to go to school for 6 years. 6 years. Was that, $60,000 worth that 6 years? Probably not. And the last one, if you went to a private school, you actually did lose money. A private college and the difference. Okay, now these are all averaged out. These are not actually your numbers according to your school. Maybe at some point we could do an AI that will actually do the actual prices and how much you'd be making. But everything is an assumption as well because interest goes up, other things happen. But this just shows you that you do not have to get a college degree to make a lot of money. But I do have a caveat there. A bachelor's degree is your best chance of really making good money and being well educated and being able to get ahead. At the same time, if you were, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to say it here because you need a high school diploma. Everyone needs a high school diploma just to show that they can actually do it. Because if you can't do it, you're probably not going to get to this point. You're not going to do all the things that we want you to do in order to become a millionaire. get your high school diploma. It shows you have drive. Then if you took your earnings right off the bat as you left high school and went and got a job, and you saved as much money as possible and started investing it right away, and you have no debt, you're actually making more money than the next level above you. So, but if you went to some college and you made a little bit more money, say you went to a year of college, again, this is a two-year college, this is 1 year, let's say, you'd be making more money and you'd be able to put more money towards that investment. And your associate's degree, you'll be paying a little bit more money, unless you went to a private school, to go towards your investments. But again, you'd be going for 2 years. Then it gives a big jump. This is 4 years. But you're already $350,000 more over 20 years making than this person. Now remember, this all relies on you just getting a job and working straight through. Now, if instead of that, you took your earnings and you put it into investments, you'd start making money on in addition to your paycheck. And if you started doing that, there'd be a point where you'd be able to jump out. Here's the thing. If you wait 11 years to become a doctor and you say, oh, I'm making this great money. You are making this great money. You're also taking this huge amount of debt out. You have this huge amount of debt lying right over your head. You'll have a harder chance of becoming a millionaire as fast as someone that left high school and started investing wisely coming out of high school. Or again, going for a four-year degree and taking that extra money and going into investments. Again, the difference is a four-year degree versus 11 years. And that's not just in school. That's like 8 years in school and then additional 3 years in residency if you're being a doctor. Or a lawyer, you're going to be the low end before you get to being really paid, which you should be paid. And I don't say should, but will be paid. So if you start off at the lower end because you can't afford to do these and you don't want to get into huge amounts of debt, don't worry about it. Don't stress at all. You're in a better spot than these people are right here. And I don't want to say this poorly, because go to college because of what you want to do. Don't go because you're going to make a ton of money. So if you want to be a doctor, go be a doctor. Go be a doctor and help save lives. If you want to be an engineer, make our buildings safer. If you want to be a lawyer, please be a good lawyer. And I don't mean good as in being very skilled at it. I mean good as being ethically skilled at it. But go to college because that's what you want to learn. If you go for something like women's studies, I'm sorry, women's studies, it could be used in some things, but there's so many people going for the jobs that have the degrees that have very little jobs behind them, that you're not able to find a job and you have to find a job somewhere else. So sorry, it does not work out very well if you go after those things. And if you go to a private college, you're just hurting yourself, because these were actual numbers back at that point in 2022, and it's only gone up since then. Okay. So, hard things said, but now I want to tell you how you can actually overcome this and start getting past these issues of your debt. Okay, so if you want to go into school, please do. We are putting out a new book, or a book that will be after our second book, so it'll be our third book, and it's called Free College. That's right. We'll get you into college for free, and it's not by handouts. We don't like handouts. This is like being handed out for just for doing things. At the same time, if you have people that will hand you money to go to college, I'm not going to say anything against it. We're just not going to teach you that, because that's how you can find those. We're going to help you find the ones that are the hardest to find, or the more guaranteed to get you there, because you're not always going to have a handout. Now, if you can go to college on a sports scholarship, or a music scholarship, or an ROT scholarship, do it. Do it. I mean, those are people that are paying you for your performance and for your hard work. And if you're going to be hardworking at volleyball, I have a niece that's in volleyball right now, and she's getting through her, associate's degree with that. She's now going into her nursing degree, and she has very little debt so far. But now she has to leave her sport, so she has less of the scholarships, and she's going to have to pay for herself. So these are the types of things that we're going to be talking to you about. And when it comes to handouts, there are things like FAFSA. FAFSA is basically a grant that the government gives you depending on your needs. So if you have, if you're a lower income household, you will actually be getting more FAFSA than if you would if you were coming from a wealthier one. Actually, you probably won't get it depending on how much your parents make. And they don't base it off of you because you're a dependent of your parents. Until you're 26, if you go for that, or if you drop your dependency around 21, you still have 18 through 21 to get through it. So it's great. There are some handouts for those that need it. But we're going to teach you the other ones, the other ways of making money or saving money to get free college. And this is just a few of the things that we're going to put in the book. But first off, you can save money by doing a 529 account. This is you get taxed on your money, but then you get your money from your paycheck. It's already taxed. And then you put into your 529 for your child. You actually designate who it's going to go for. Now, the great thing about this account is it's a savings account. So you actually save money towards their college. Now, as you're saving for their college, you're actually making it so that the increase is non-taxable. The government does not tax you on the increase because it has to go to some sort of educational means, university, college, trade school. They don't usually do anything beyond that, but those are ones you can use it on. We have one for most of our kids, and we're developing ones for our younger kids. Dual enrollment. When you go to high school, you can actually enroll in college classes for free through your high school, and you can get college credits as well by doing that. How about testing out of some classes? If you get good enough in class, you can go to your college and not even have to take those classes because you take a test, you pass them, you get the credit for them. That's great. You don't have to get those credits again. State grants, school grants. There's all these other federal grants that you can get. These are handouts per se, but they are provided so you can go to college. This drops your debt towards your school dramatically. Now, what about your college? Asking the college for money. Yes, you can actually go to your college and literally ask them if they have any programs that fits your needs. And they have a lot of different programs. Most colleges have an endowment that go a few million dollars. Like Harvard, I think it was somewhere around $500 million to even $1 billion in there. I don't know. I remember how much it is. I don't keep up with Harvard. Harvard, Yale, those big colleges, they charge you. They put money in their endowment and they hold on to it. But yes, they do actually give some grants, but it's just small bits. Just sprinkling you with a little bit of scholarships. So you think, oh, my college is great. Yeah, they hoard your money. And those are the private schools. Remember, I'll bring that chart up again. Wait a second. That's the private schools that charge you so much and make you have to pay so much more. And really, in the end, no one really looks at where you're from unless you're from a Harvard or Yale, Princeton. There are a handful of these colleges that people say, oh, you were there? Wow, that's prestigious. Most people will say, hey, you've got your degree, you passed the bar if you're being a lawyer. Great, I'm going to hire you on. Or as a doctor, you served your residency at this place. Come on, I want to hire you on. Now, how about also to get out of some of this debt, work study jobs. So there's federal work study is part-time and it works for undergraduates and graduates with their financial needs. Private scholarships, claims to tax credits. There's also, like I was showing you that, there's also community college. You don't need to have the biggest and best college, especially to get your associate's degree, and especially to get started on whatever else you want to do, because the beginning years are all low-hanging fruit classes. It's not till you get to the higher ones that you get to the specialized classes. Cutting down on your expenses while in school, that will be big. Working while you're in school. And I'm going to skip all these other ones. I've got a lot of them, but I know I've already used my time up. Here's a big one. And this is what I'm promoting because they are sponsor of this program. And that's Zogos Gaming. Did you know that you could actually earn scholarships by collecting coins? And how do you collect coins in the system? You earn them through gameplay, through academic achievement, and by service. Now, and not just service, but being active off the screen. That's right, they incentivize you on the screen by doing things off the screen. You can actually earn college scholarships by doing this. Now, the system is not actually up and running as of yet, but it is coming. So stay tuned for that. I'll give you more information as we go. And you know what? Don't be too hard on yourself to actually ask your family for gifts, especially when you graduate high school. They will give you gifts of cash. A lot of them will. But here's the thing. Here's the big thing. You need to be paying attention to this. Is that money cannot be spent on anything. They're giving you that money so you can put it towards college. It would be better if they just gave you a savings bonds or something else that has to go straight into your education, throwing into your 529. Because most of those youth, 18 around, are going to spend that money. It's true. Most of them will spend that money. One last thing that I didn't mention, there are actually some colleges that are free tuition. There's 18 of them in the United States, and they are growing very, very fast with popularity because they're free. You actually have to apply, but it's free. Not your room and board and not your supplies, but that dramatically reduces your price of going to college. So I hope you enjoyed that. There's a lot of information to share, but I do appreciate you sticking in with us and going through all these ways of making sure that your debt does not overcome you, because the most important thing for you is to get rid of that stress, because that stress is a killer. Stress and fear is killing you unless you get that under control. And by listening to the Debt-Free Millionaire podcast, you're going to learn how to get out of that stress, get out of that fear, and become either debt-free, a millionaire, or a debt-free millionaire. And I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.